Hi guys, welcome back to the Mind Body Herb podcast. My name is Mia Harris, registered holistic nutritionist. And in this podcast, we talk a lot about health and wellness. Last few podcasts, we've talked about hormone health, weight loss, gut health, cortisol. And today I wanted to switch things up a little bit and actually talk about business, the business side of things. So I have been in business for almost a decade, which seems a little bit wild and crazy to think about. Almost a little bit more. In 2024 is when I decided to sign up and go to school to study holistic nutrition. And in today's episode, I wanted to go over 10 lessons that I have learned in business over the past decade. I know I have a lot of budding holistic nutritionists who follow me and other practitioners. So, you know, this is for you, whether you're starting out or if you are a seasoned practitioner and just wanting to gain a little bit of a different perspective and some different insights on things, then this episode is for you. So to give you a little bit of a background, I was working at a bank after I graduated from high school. I worked there from 18 to about 24 years old. And I kind of got to the point where I'm just like, is this going to be it? Am I going to be sitting at this desk for the next 30 years? I didn't enjoy it. I was very burnt out. I had hardly any work-life balance at all. I decided to quit after 6 years working at the bank, and I went traveling with my younger sister. We went to Thailand and Cambodia and Bali, and I remember very vividly, I was sitting on a beach and talking to another fellow traveler, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't have a job to go back to. I don't know what I want to do with my life. You know, the telltale questions of your 20s, right? What am I going to do with my life? What's my career going to look like? And I remember he said to me, you know, what do you like to study and research and learn about in your spare time? And I said, health and fitness. And he said, well, you should probably do something in that then. And it was like a light bulb went off in my brain. And as soon as I got home from traveling, I went to the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. There was a branch just by my house in Vancouver in Kitsilano. I waltzed in there. I said, I want to sign up for the program. The new semester was starting in September. There was only a few days. And they said, you know, if you can get all your transcripts in, give us a deposit, we'll get you in. And that's what I did. And here I am 10 years later, still in the field of holistic nutrition. You know, I have done many different things over the years. I've worked in 3 different naturopathic clinics. I still work at a naturopathic clinic and get some referrals from them. I have done recipe development. I have created multiple apps. One was really fun. So I did do recipe development and meal planning app. And I had some pretty high profile fitness influencers. We're talking like Michi Peachy, Chris O'Hearn, those sorts of things that would do my recipes and film them. And I kind of got to the point where I'm like, those recipes, I want to be the face of my own stuff. And so that's kind of what I focused on. And so now what I do primarily for an income is I work at Pacific Rim College as a clinic instructor. So I teach clinics and classes on disordered and emotional eating, as well as business and social media development. And I also have my own online practice with a focus on women's health and hormones. And so those are my kind of 2 areas of focus right now. So in this episode, I did want to share kind of 10 of the biggest things that I've learned over the past decade. So without further ado, let's get into it. So first and foremost, the biggest lesson I've learned that it takes time, especially in the online space, to build a business. In the beginning, I wanted to be 10 steps ahead. I compared myself to other people and wondered why I wasn't where they were at. And I think it's kind of the saying goes as, you know, most overnight successes were a decade in the making. So I think the biggest thing is to, you know, realize that things are going to take time. You're not typically going to have a sellout business in your first year, maybe 2 years. So, you know, get comfortable with the process, get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. And something that I often recommend to my students, you know, if you are needing that financial support in the beginning, it might be a good idea to have kind of a part-time gig where you have some guaranteed income, but still in the health and wellness world. Sometimes what I see people do is like, well, I'm not making a ton of money and I need to make money. So I'm going to go back to insurance or banking, what I was doing before, working full-time. Then they're too tired to focus on their business and it just kind of goes to the side. So do something that is still within the health world and still gives you a little bit of guaranteed income while you're able to build your business on the side. And hopefully you get to a space where you can let those things go and really focus on your business. So along with that was also just enjoying the process. Being an entrepreneur, building a business, it requires a lot of kind of personal reflection, personal development, and overcoming a lot of fears. So if you would have told me back then in my early 20s that I'd be doing what I'm doing now, teaching, that I have a podcast, that I show up on social media and talk about things, I'd be like, you're joking. That no way am I doing those things. And, you know, it really does push you and challenge you to kind of get out of your comfort zone. And there's so many things that I'm just grateful that that made me do and how that helped me to develop as a person. So that's kind of the first lesson, is it's going to take longer than you expect, and really enjoy to learn to enjoy the process along the way. Second lesson is to actually take some time to plan out your year as far as launches go, how many weeks your launches and how long you're going to be prepped for in marketing your programs and offerings, and doing that, you know, a number of times per year. What I did in the beginning, I didn't have any rhyme or reason of what I was promoting. I just kind of was like, well, I want to create this new thing. And, you know, I'm going to expect 10 people to show up. I'm going to make a boatload of money in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I didn't really have a plan of action. I was just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what stuck. And I left very disappointed in many times. So what I have learned from being in practice is I know, you know, I have a couple of signature programs. So one is I have my one-on-one services. So I launch those once or twice per year, kind of ongoing throughout the year. But I also have group coaching programs. So typically what my goal right now is to do that group coaching in January, in springtime, and also in September. So we're kind of mid-August right now. I'm planning on launching in mid-September. And so I need to be talking about that program right now, giving myself minimum 4 weeks for that launch to talk about it on social media, share it to my email list, to my subscribers, you know, get content out there and share about that. So kind of just to give you an example of what that looks like. So like I mentioned, through my experience of working, I know that, you know, January is usually a pretty good time for holistic nutrition services. People are kind of in that new year, new mindset, ready to look at their health and their fitness and getting back on track. So kind of, I find end of January, beginning of February is always a good time to kind of have a program starting. So that means I know I need to be starting almost in mid-December, kind of teasing things and prepping things and starting to talk about that program offering come January. Then I do the same thing spring before summer. People are wanting, again, to look after their health before the busy summer months. And then again, in kind of end of September, October is another great time. People are, you know, they've been having their fun in summer. They've been on holidays and vacations and barbecues and camping and drinking beers on the patio. And they're wanting to focus on their health, especially before the holidays come up, right? So I know that those are three big times throughout the year. So I want to be kind of prepared in knowing when I'm going to have a program offering and when I need to be prepping for my launch, instead of just going off of like, well, I want to make some money and I'm going to throw something out into the ether and see what works. You know, you can try those things and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So I have really this past 2 years been really looking at my full year ahead and planning and preparing myself in advance, so I know exactly what I need to be doing, what my content needs to look like, and what my offerings are going to look like for the entire year. Might take you some time to get there, but it makes a huge difference and just creates a lot of clarity and consistency. Now, on the concept of planning, this is my third lesson, is looking at your calendar and doing some time blocking. So I used to be the person that I would take my little laptop and I'd go to the coffee shop and I'd open my laptop and, you know, do my thing. And then I'd sit there and be with anxiety because I had no idea what I needed to be doing. Did I need to send a newsletter? Should I be starting a YouTube channel? Do I need to do a blog post? How many social media posts do I need to do? And just kind of felt all over the place. And I wasn't really sure, you know, for the effort that I was putting out, kind of like return on your investment. So, you know, all the effort that I was putting into my business, was it creating what I wanted to, which initially was an income as well as helping people, of course. But, you know, what I was doing, was that transpiring into getting new clients? And I wasn't really sure in the beginning. So again, a lot of it was just kind of throwing spaghetti out and seeing what kind of stuck and what kind of was going to work. But what I have really learned is to time block and have certain days dedicated to certain tasks. Because if you are an entrepreneur, again, you know, you don't really have a boss. So it's up to you to create a bit of a timeline and a schedule for yourself so that you know what you need to focus on. Now, every single day when I come and sit at my desk at 9 o'clock in the morning, I know what I need to be doing for that day. I have a little bit of flexibility. I'm not an overly rigid, like type A kind of person in my business. So, you know, I have a little bit of flexibility in there, but what I do is more so time block. So I kind of looked at my week and looked at all the tasks that I wanted to get done that week. So yes, a newsletter is one. I don't really do too many blog posts right now, but I do social media. So I look at kind of what do I want to create this week in terms of, you know, how does that relate to my business and my offerings that are coming up, planning it out that way. I've been really enjoying podcasting. So doing a podcast every week is also on the agenda. And I also, I just love recipe creating as well. So that gives me a little bit of flexibility and fun to get kind of creative, especially in the afternoon. I don't overly enjoy sitting at a desk for long periods of time, to be honest. And I also don't do client calls every single day of the week. So I condense them down. So typically right now I'm doing client calls on Tuesday mornings, Thursdays, and every other Fridays. I used to be kind of like people can book in whenever works for them, but I don't like doing that. I just feel like when, you know, you have a couple calls here and there kind of sprinkled throughout the week, it really kind of is distracting. I would rather get all my calls and be in that mindset and get them done within a certain period of time. So I found that to be really, really helpful. Okay. And my fourth lesson learned in business is actually following through on your promotion. So as I kind of mentioned before that, you know, people typically need to hear about your services 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before they decide to sign up for you. So I often have people, you know, that have been following me for a long, long time, and something within my content kind of triggered something where they're kind of finally feel like they're ready to work with me. So there is a little bit of a process to get somebody from what we call a cold lead. So somebody that's brand new to you, they've never seen your stuff before, or just coming across your profile for you on social media or online, wherever it is, to what's called a hot lead, someone that's like, I'm ready to sign up and work with Mia. I know she can help me. I trust her. So typically, people have to know you, like you, and trust you before signing up to work with you. So there is a little bit of a strategy throughout your content that helps move people from A to B. I don't typically have somebody that just comes onto my platform or on my website and signs up to work with me immediately. And through my content at the same time, it's not just as sharing a pretty smoothie recipe and people signing up to work with me. There's a strategy involved behind getting people to sign up and into my programs that they know that I can help them get the transformation that they're looking for. So kind of relating back to some of the first pieces is that, again, number one, people need to hear things multiple times. People need to develop that know, like, and trust factor, and you have to give them ample time to sign up and learn more about your programs. Typically before, you know, I'd only give myself a couple weeks before a launch, and then I would panic because I only talked about my program once or twice and nobody was signing up. And that's because I wasn't talking about it enough. So one of the things that I heard is, like, talk about your program like it's your favorite pair of Lululemon pants. Talk about it over and over and over. I used to be very afraid of coming off as salesy, especially in my stories online and also with my newsletter. I'm like, well, I don't want to bug people too much and I don't want to come off as salesy. People are going to unfollow me. This is a business and you have to treat it like that. If you do not think of it that way, then you're treating your business more so as a hobby, which isn't going to work for you because your business needs to be your business. This is your livelihood. This is how you are going to make a living. You have to treat it as so and be kind of undeniably all invested and talk about your stuff and be passionate about it. If you are too afraid to show up and sell, then you're going to have a real challenge. So make sure that you give yourself enough time to launch your program. So like I mentioned, 4 weeks is kind of what I give myself before I launch a new program or one-on-one services or group programs. And following all the way up through to the very, very last day for people to sign up. So that means, you know, if your program's starting on September 16th, you're talking about it on September 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, the day that it starts, right? Typically, people sometimes don't sign up until the last minute either. So keep following through. Don't give up, you know, if you talk about your program once and nobody shows up. Okay. All right. So we are into the fifth lesson. So that's starting messy. So oftentimes before we delve into our business, we think that we need to have all of our ducks in a row. We have to have perfect branding, the perfect website, the perfect program offerings. We have to have brand photos done and professional photos done. And we feel like we need to have all the stuff in order to begin. But honestly, starting messy and starting imperfect is better than not starting at all. And so sometimes you just have to jump in without feeling like you know all and knowing all the ins and outs. So I'll give you an example. For me, that was this podcast. I had had up on my, I have a vision board kind of in my where I kind of write out my goals and the things that I want to accomplish within the year, next few years. Having a podcast had been on my vision board for a very, very long time. And I kept kind of coming back. I'm like, well, I don't really, you know, I didn't have a microphone in the beginning. I need to have a good microphone in order to set a good recording. I don't have an intro. I still don't have an intro. I didn't know what I was doing. Did I need to launch a podcast? Should I do a giveaway to get people to sign up? And I kind of, you know, let all these things get in the way of me actually starting till I finally just bit the bullet. And I was like, you know what? We're going to start messy. It's not going to be perfect. The first episodes are probably going to suck. And that's okay. That's okay if they're not perfect, because the more you do it and the more you show up, the more you learn. And that's exactly what happened. So the first couple episodes, yeah, they were a little bit rocky. It was a little, I didn't know how to edit them. The audio isn't perfect. And I was a little bit rote and routine with my wording and how it was coming across. And so I have learned, you know, I'm still only on the fifth or sixth podcast episode, but I've learned and I've changed so much in my delivery and my presence and not feeling like, you know, if I said too much, right? So it's just about jumping in and learning as you go. A good example of this is social media. So I know a lot of people kind of have buttons on social media. They feel a little bit afraid to show up, or they feel a little bit afraid that they're not very good at editing videos or creating videos, but you have to get started. First, when I go back and look at my content, there was some pretty messy stuff on there. I remember my first stories that I recorded, I couldn't even listen to them because I was so nervous about hearing my own voice online. But you have to start messy and just start getting into it. The other thing, just kind of on this topic about starting messy, is sometimes what I see with my students or with other colleagues of mine is that I feel like they have to have more and more education, that they have to, you know, sign up for more business classes and sign up for more courses on specific topics. And when they have certain levels of certifications under, then they'll be successful. I definitely fell into this category many, many times, where, you know, I would make excuses of why I couldn't build my business. Well, I got to learn more. I need to be more lucrative. I need to offer functional testing. I need to offer fitness. And what I actually needed to do was be really honest with myself and say, are you actually showing up and doing the things that you should be doing in order to build your business more? Or are you using this as more of a distraction? That's what I see over and over again online and again with myself. So sometimes it's not about taking another course. It's about getting really honest with yourself about what you need to do and how you're showing up every single day within your business. So investing in business mentorship can be really helpful for this. So I've had three different business mentors over the past decade, and I would not be where I am without any of them. They have showed me things that I would have never known possible. And again, I'd probably be way farther behind than I am. And it can just be really, really helpful, especially if you feel like you're very overwhelmed on what you need to be focused on, right? Because there's lots of moving parts, especially in the beginning. Do I need to do a blog? Do I need to do a newsletter? Do I need to create my freebie? How many programs and services and offerings should I have? So sometimes having a mentorship, somebody that can mentor you and help kind of clear out that noise, that shiny thing syndrome, and focus on the things that are really going to matter and give you that income generating activity. So focusing on things that are actually going to reward you and give you an income rather than just kind of throwing things out to the abyss. So I will put that out there. On that topic, so on the sixth lesson is like getting comfortable with growing and selling on social media. As I mentioned, you know, you can't, unless you're wanting to be like an influencer, a blogger type of person, or work with brands, those sorts of things, it's not quite as easy as just creating these pretty recipes and getting people to sign up with you in your nutrition programs. There's that strategy that you have to learn from getting people from point A to point B, from brand new to you to signing up for you. So what that kind of looks like through your social media content is, you know, sharing your personal side. So like I mentioned, getting people to know you. What got you into holistic nutrition? Did you have your own health struggles? Speaking to that. Sharing your daily life. Sharing your morning routine. What a day in the life looks like for you as a practitioner. What are some of your go-to meals? and also developing that trust factor. So that means sharing types of content that show your expertise, share your knowledge, gives people practical and informative posts and educational posts, and gives them information that they can implement and see a change on immediately, right? You also have to throw in a little bit of entertainment. If you're just doing a lot of talking head videos and there's not a lot going on behind, you know, entertainment is a big part of social media. And learning where to kind of put strategically put your call to action. So that's inviting people in, getting people to sign up for your newsletter, to sign up for your one-on-one services. There's a little bit of a finesse to kind of growing and selling on social media. So I would really take some time to delve into the marketing aspect of things. Again, kind of going back to the last one is, you know, I would take some time to invest in marketing and business over signing up for a new certification. Most people know a ton and know enough to help people. So it's about kind of getting a little bit messy and getting into things and having somebody that's been doing what they've been doing and know the ins and outs and kind of help you to kind of bypass a lot of that, the gray area in business, especially in the online space. So lesson number 7 is setting strong boundaries with social media and being able to take some time off. So I kind of came across this by accident. I used to be the type of person that I thought that I always had to be on, that I always had to be posting everything that I was doing on social media, on my stories. I had to post every single day. I had all my notifications. I had to get back to comments and messages like within minutes. And that is a great way to burn out and want to quit and not do what you're doing anymore. So again, I kind of came across this by accident. This was, I think, in the first year that my partner and I were dating about 5 years ago. We went on a camping trip and I didn't have any cell phone service. Didn't know that was going to happen. And I was forced. I couldn't go online, couldn't check my emails, couldn't check my social media, couldn't post anything. And I came back from that week feeling so refreshed and so inspired to get back to work and to be online that I started doing that kind of multiple times for years. I actually just did this. We were away for our wedding a couple weeks ago. I actually took 3 weeks off. I still kind of check things here and there, but I didn't really post any nutrition related content. And my kind of idea was I wanted to be fully present for my wedding and for my holiday and our honeymoon. So I didn't really go on social media at all. And it felt really, really refreshing. And I also do this just throughout the week as well. So I typically, like Friday afternoons, I delete all social media apps off my phone. Sometimes I'll come back on a Sunday if I'm feeling inspired, or again, if I am in the middle of a launch and I need to post something, but I usually make sure I take like at least a full day offline, not checking or looking or consuming any type of content. Every single night, typically by 7 o'clock or even earlier, if I feel like I've been on social media a lot that day, I delete the apps right off my phone. Otherwise, I get tempted to just go on without even thinking about it and start scrolling, right? So I have found that to be really, really helpful to just delete apps right off my phone, to turn off my notifications, to turn off my email notifications and only check my email at certain times of day. Otherwise, it's very, very distracting. So I would find myself sometimes even, you know, in the midst of writing a blog post or writing my newsletter, and I'd have a minute to stop and think, and I'd grab my phone and check it, right? That can be distracting and take a lot of time. So set strong boundaries with social media. Don't be afraid to take time off. In the beginning, I thought, you know, hustle, hustle, hustle. The more I work, the harder I work, the more I was on my business, the more I would be successful. And honestly, again, that just led me straight to burnout. So now I'm kind of in the season of kind of going with ease and flow. I don't post every single day. I'm not on my stories all day long. I'm very intentional about the content that I'm putting out and what I want to get out of that content, right? Am I wanting to, a lot of it is to help people and to share information too, and also to get business and share my business and to grow. I'm strategic about the content and the platforms that I'm showing up on. Podcasting to be one of them. So to give you an example with podcasting, again, I don't, you know, part of me was just having fun with this and wanting to play around with it a little bit too. But my intentions behind it were, you know, I don't really love blogging, to be honest. Like I found it a little bit too rigid. So I was like, let's jump on the microphone and see how things kind of go and have fun and learn with it. Fun and enjoyment with podcasting, but it also allows me to dive into topics on a more in-depth level, right? So social media, you know, even in newsletters, you only have a so much that you can really share within that, but podcasting is allowed to give you another level of sharing your expertise and your knowledge. So we talked about that know, like, and trust factor. This can help add a layer of trust that, hey, Mia is really knowledgeable about this topic, and she really knows this well, and I'm gonna trust her. That's one. Two is also, you know, I have interviewed a couple of people for this podcast. So this also, you know, shares my platform to a wider audience, and also vice versa for these other practitioners. It's helped me create relationships with people as well, and also reach different types of audiences at the same time. So, you know, we have those multiple factors: fun, growth, and the trust factor with podcasting. So, right, I didn't really want to just jump on and be like, well, I'm just going to talk about whatever. I wanted to have some intention behind it, because if you're just kind of throwing content out there, there was one time where I'm like, the more content I pump out, the better. The more stuff I put out, the better. But, you know, without intention behind it or strategy behind it, again, a great way to burn out. So that's going into the eighth lesson, which is just not getting burnt out, having some digital detoxes, taking vacations and time away for your business. And nothing is going to change. You're not going to lose a ton of income if you take the weekend off, or take even a week off or 3 weeks off like I did. I actually got business and I gained followers from not being online. Okay, so we are headed into my ninth lesson, which is not highly discounting your programs. I have seen two of my colleagues over the past couple months create new offerings and say things like, I am heavily discounting my services because this is the first time that I'm offering this program. And in my mind, when I was looking at it, I'm like, why are you heavily discounting your program? You have been in business for, same as me, as a decade. You're incredibly knowledgeable. You're incredibly smart. I know your programs are going to deliver. So why are you undervaluing your services? I kind of think of this as, you know, I had a little bit of a aha moment with this topic was, you know, another favorite, and we were talking about sayings, was people who pay attention. So I have been there where I have, you know, shared these programs and offerings at heavily discounted rates because I was scared that nobody was going to sign up if I charged, you know, $1,000+ for them, right? But what I have come to know is that people who, you know, are paying a good amount for your services, they show up. They do the work, they see the transformation. Sometimes with the lower cost services that, you know, because it's not a big of an investment, people aren't as invested in maybe their own health and wellness transformation, right? So sometimes setting your programs at the higher rates, you have people that are going to show up and put the work in. You're going to get better testimonials. You're going to get better results. You're also going to feel more compensated for your work. There's nothing worse than putting a pile of work into a program, you're not being paid fairly. The person that you are, you know, people that are in that program are messaging you a million times, asking you all these different questions and all of these different things. And you have put thousands of hours into your program and recording things and creating different offerings and different resources, and you just feel undervalued. So you will also show up better as a practitioner when you are charging a higher result. I also just think of this like kind of figuratively as well. Like, I'll give you for an example for me was sunglasses. When I bought a pair of like more expensive, like the Ray-Ban sunglasses, and I take care of those things. I don't just huck them into my glove box or shove them into my purse because they cost more. I put them into their little case. I make sure, you know, I'm not going to sit on them. Because I've paid more money for them. So therefore I put a higher value on them, of course. And I don't want to throw $250, $300 out the window. Versus if I have multiple sunglasses at home that have cost me $10. I don't really care about them because they're disposable at that point. If they get a scratch on them, if I break them, if I sit on them, I don't really put as much effort into taking care of those $10 sunglasses as I do my sunglasses that are $300, right? So I think of it the same way as in business. If we're really undervaluing our services, then they're not being taken as seriously, right? So don't heavily discount your programs. I know in the beginning, when you're just getting started on offering different services and programs, it can feel like, well, I have to discount them. I still wouldn't do that. Now that's going to look a little bit differently. I think it just comes in the wording. So I would not use wording like heavily discounted or low cost options, like You can do things like an early bird discount. So maybe you're offering $100, $200 off for people who sign up in the next couple weeks to kind of get some momentum going there. Or maybe, you know, $100 or $200 off or offering sign up bonuses like a free extra one-on-one consultation if it's a group program, or maybe an extra meal plan or something like that. Something to incentivize people, but I wouldn't undervalue your services that you're given. We're professionals. We've learned a ton. You should be well compensated for it. Okay. All right. So that was 9. Number 10 is our very last lesson learned in business is redefining what success looks like for you. So this has really come for me in the last actually kind of year where I just had a few like pinch me moments where I'm like, I cannot believe this is my life. And I still sometimes think of that. I actually came across the other day, I had written a number of years ago, like I did a little bit of a exercise about what I wanted my ideal day to look like as a practitioner. So for me, that was, you know, having a good morning routine, not waking up super early, enjoying my coffee, sitting with my partner, taking my dog for a walk, ideally getting to my desk at 9 o'clock every morning and 6 hours, stopping work at 3 o'clock, going for a workout, being able to make a nice dinner, again, spending some time with my partner, shutting off. I only really want to work 5 or 6 hours in a day. I think that, you know, working 8 hours, sometimes it's just not focused. So that was my intention. I'm like, I want to have more work-life balance. I want to be done work at 3 o'clock. I was reading that the other day and I was like, that's my life right now. And to me, you know, I'm not making millions of dollars yet as a holistic nutritionist. And, you know, in the beginning, that was just my goal was I want to make lots of money, lots of money, lots of money, lots of money, and the rest will come. But I really shifted what defines success right now. And so for me, that's being able to do a job I love. I never have a day that I wake up and I'm like, I don't want to go to work today, days, because I love what I do so much and enjoy it. And to be honest, a lot of the times it just doesn't feel like work. I'm able to dive into my creative side and create things and share my thoughts and my ideas and my recipes and, you know, fun things I do in my life with people online. And that was something that I was missing when I was working at the bank. I didn't have a lot of creative outlet. I kind of, you know, just went through the motions, showed up to work, 8:30 to 5, exercise, feed myself, sleep, and I just kind of went through the motions. And now I have a lot more flexibility within my day. And, you know, that life balance was, you know, now when I look at it, that's number one, actually even over my income. Obviously, I want to create a good income for my home, for myself and my partner and our life and what kind of life we want to have. But I really, you know, have honored that part of, you know, having that flexibility to do other things while still earning a good income. Also talked about in the beginning, kind of personal development looks like. So I looked over the years and I looked at all the things that I've learned in this past decade. I have learned about business. I have learned about marketing. I've learned about public speaking. I've learned how to be a teacher, an educator, a coach. I have learned about mindset, so many things, and business being a big one of them, but also just, you know, as a practitioner and a person and running a business and, you know, things even just about myself that I have really learned along the way, which you can't really even put a price on. So that's my last and final lesson is redefining what success looks like and doesn't necessarily mean a number in your bank account, but what does your lifestyle look like as a whole. So that's it. Those were the 10 lessons that I have learned over this past decade. So I hope it gave you some insight. And then I hope you enjoyed this episode, a little bit different from the past ones that I have done. And I'd love to hear from you of what you thought about this. If you're a practitioner, if you found it helpful. And I will just put it out there as well. I do offer coaching for holistic practitioners as well. So you can visit my website, www.miaharrisnutrition.com. I often offer one-on-one coaching services, and I hope in the next few months to actually open up a group coaching program for holistic practitioners to support them in their business and on social media. I have been running this through Pacific Rim College. This is my fourth time. I just finished a class last couple weeks and have had some really great feedback from it. So I'm wanting to open this up kind of more to the general public. So I'm hoping maybe this fall to have that up and going. So again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Share it with other practitioners. Subscribe and never miss a podcast. I come out with one every single week. And again, we delve into topics like holistic health, hormones, weight loss, gut health, mindset, business coaching, and so much more. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode and for listening to today's podcast. We'll see you next time.